co-writer Mike Wills, and we thought, actually, there is a hell of a book in here. And partly also because my own history and is so bound up with this guy. I mean, there are people who often come to me, and just the other day, somebody who really likes my cartoons came up to me and said, what is it with you and Zuma? I mean, is it personal? And it's so weird. I mean, for me, it's not, well, it wasn't personal to start with. Maybe it is now. But it's because, you know, you're somebody who's stuffing up the country and somebody who, from a party where there should be people who are plenty capable of doing better. Anyway, so what the fuck? It's Capturing Zuma, a Cartoonist Tale. There's a kind of triple meaning in capturing. I mean, capturing Zuma as a cartoonist. There is state capture. And there's the idea, every single day, we hear one or two things about whether or not he will eventually be in some way caught. And it's these questions that are ongoing. Anybody care to mention a year? When would you think would be a year? Think back when I would have done a cartoon that identifies Zuma among the whole of the ANC as somebody to watch out for corruption. I mean, what year, more or less? 2015, I hear. That's actually later than I sometimes get. I often get 2006, 2005. It's actually 2002. And no, and just have a look at where it happened. It's right here. Do you remember that, okay, we've had Nasrec, we had Mangaung. Before that, Polokwane, the famous 2007. 5 years before that was Stellenbosch, the exact same event, the ANC conference here in Stellenbosch. And that was the year in which the 1999 corruption really went into the public domain. So I work pretty much, you know, I'm in contact with journalists and friends and whatever who let me know a lot of stuff. But I generally work more or less with what the public knows. And that is the year in which the corruption charges were sort of swirling around him among everybody in the ANC. That was, you know, just that little cloud, and you can get the picture. A couple of years later, Jacob Zuma is around and about, and a lot more in the public eye. And his financial advisor Shabir Sheikh is going on trial for bribing him. Now, look, I started out as an activist. I wasn't a cartoonist to start with. I was an activist, and in 1988, I was detained without trial by the security police because they thought I was on the Nelson Mandela birthday committee organizing for his 70th birthday. There was the big Wembley Stadium concert in London. I actually wasn't on that committee, but I was in the Claremont UDF branch, the United Democratic Front. Friend of mine in the observatory branch, who I worked with a lot, was also, believe it or not, called Jonathan Shapiro. Two of us in this tiny little group, and he was known as Jojo, and I had a feeling when they interrogated me, as they interrogated me, they said, why do you draw us as pigs? I said, I draw what I see. true story. And then they put me in solitary confinement immediately after that, really because I was not answering questions, but didn't feel so funny at the time. 5 days in solitary, and then in a cell next to Willy Hoffmeyer. His name will come up again later. He's an old comrade of mine. So, Jojo Shapiro was on that committee. I just want to sort of pause to tell you, it's fascinating for me as to who I was detained with. I was a junior activist, but Jojo is slightly more kind of in the goings on, and he was on that committee. But there were people who were on that committee, Bulelani Ngcuka, the very guy who did not charge Zuma when he charged Shabir Sheikh, Zuma's financial advisor, for bribing Zuma, and Zuma wasn't charged for being bribed, for accepting the bribes. Bulelani Ngcuka was one of the nine people, there were eight, nine of us, who was detained. Nonde Balfour, whose name's cropped up, he became a cabinet minister, his name's cropped up in the Basasa story. Omar Badsha, who became head of SA History Online. Rihanna Rousseau, another journalist. Me, junior sort of budding journalist, cartoonist, satirist, whatever I was, activist. And Salim Mauser, who was who became a provincial cabinet minister. For me, it's fascinating to watch what happened after liberation, because people who were in had different vested interests, but had all been kind of walking together, however senior or junior they were, suddenly the paths kind of diverge, and then some ones in law, and ones in media, and ones in government, and ones in local government, and ones in an NGO, and they are fighting like cats and dogs, and that's what happened. Then I was in the cell next to Willie Hofer. So that's a little background, because it crops up as part of the story, and that's what I've tried to tell in this book. This book, by the way, WTF, is not like my annuals. It's a real story. It's a personal story of what happened as far as I could see, and also my own little history and stories wound up in it. So I hope you get a chance to have a look at that. But so 2004-05, Shabir Sheikh goes on trial, found guilty of bribing Zuma, of fraud and corruption. Zuma, of course, hasn't been on trial. So we have the verdict. We're waiting for the sentence. The verdict, join the dots. Now, that little phrase, join the dots, about 12 years later, is very much, well, it started about 12 years later. Pravin Gordhan picked up that phrase, not from me. I mean, that phrase is out there. It's a famous, famous thing. It's a great thing to use. But I was trying to join those dots a long time ago on this stuff. And it's always nice to see that, I mean, Pravin is one of those people who are really, I think we all need, and he's also talking about joining the dots. But what I also loved about this cartoon was, I'm told by people who were in parliament that there were senior parliamentarians, including cabinet ministers, ANC people, cabinet ministers, who were sitting with their mail and guardian in parliament, just below sight, kind of joining the dots. And I got that report from a number of people. I'd love to have seen that. By 2006, we suddenly had not only corruption charges with Zuma, but we also had an allegation of rape. And that very famous case, Zuma was, of course, acquitted. But he was lucky to be acquitted. That's for sure. You go back and look at that case. Not only that, but during the case, during his cross-examination, he was asked what he did after the so-called consensual sex with somebody that he knew and admitted to have known was HIV positive. He said he had a shower. You know, that was like obviously a little light bulb went off for me, not only for me, but for a lot of people. But it gave me a device that I could put. Anyway, I did a whole lot of cartoons. He then, at the end, when he was acquitted, he sued not only me, but a whole lot of other people in media and entities in media, seven or eight. But the total lawsuit, 63 million rand, my part in it, one quarter, 15 million just for me. And for three cartoons, my response, I'm suing for damage to my reputation. Would that be your reputation as a disgraced, chauvinistic demagogue who can't control his sexual urges and who thinks a shower prevents AIDS? Because my editors were very nervous that, that he might sue again for the cartoon, especially because if you look there at the drawings that Zuma is holding, they are the three cartoons that he was suing me for. And they said, do you have to put that back into this drawing? I said, yes, damn it, we do. We must fight. And, of course, this drawing, by the way, didn't have a shower on because I had already done one of those drawings. And you won't be able to see, but the bottom one is the first, well, one of the first ones where I had a little shower on his head. In fact, the very first one. And I didn't think it worked in this drawing, but a whole lot of people said to me, where's the shower? And I realized that I had a fixture, so to speak. And that shower then became a huge, huge thing. Now, that lawsuit, by the way, went on for 6 years and eventually was dropped. Very funny stories around the lawsuit. I don't even have time to tell you all of that. Zuma is now really, okay, there was Stellenbosch, then there was Polokwane was coming up 5 years after Stellenbosch. Only, 5 years after that first corruption scare where we knew. Zuma was now trying to become ANC president, and the ANC were lapping him up. I knew that Thabo Mbeki, there were problems with Mbeki on AIDS denialism, and he was shielding Jackie Selebi, the National Police Commissioner. this was during that time, The Lion King, co-starring reward-winning Jackie Celebi and soon featuring Jacob Simba in I Just Can't Wait to Be King. So that was just one of my sort of favorite cartoons of the period, but it's into the sort of Polokwane period. Now, in that run-up to Polokwane in 2007, it was clear that Zuma's issue was those pesky 783 corruption charges that he hadn't been charged with by Bulelani Ngcuka, who said there was a prima facie case, and now the acting head of the NPA, Mokotedi Mshe, was having to make up his mind whether to charge Zuma and when to charge Zuma. And this is a cartoon from that period. His front runners there towards Polokwane, and you see that Zuma is kind of well ahead of everyone, all the other candidates. You know, Mbeki seems sort of lagging behind, and there's Nkosazana Zuma and Kgalema Motlanthe and various other people. Except the one character that's close up to him is the blooming MPA, trying to pin those corruption charges on him. So it was a cartoon that worked and was fun. That's Mokotedi Mshe. About 8 years after this cartoon, I get the shock of my life. I am contacted by my good friend Marian Tam, who I now work with at Daily Maverick. More about that later. But Marian says to me, here's a fascinating story. Billy Downer was the prosecutor in the case, in the case with Shabir Sheikh, and with, you know, he would have been if this case was brought against Zuma. Billy Downer was told, and he told Marianne and other people this story. Billy Downer was told by Mokotedi Mshe that the reason Mshe dropped the charges, did not charge Zuma before Polokwane, was because he saw that cartoon. And he felt so embarrassed about being seen to be hounding Zuma that he didn't charge him before Polokwane. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. What's true is that that's what he told Billy Downer. So, but please do not blame me for Zuma, because I refuse to accept responsibility. In this country and in other countries, but really, really weird things happen in connection with the cartoons. It's sometimes weirder than you can possibly imagine. That's many years later that I only heard that story. Polokwane Zuma duly went on to become the president of the ANC. And I'm going backwards instead of forwards. There we go. And that's the cartoon. That's the book I did at the time. It seems very dark. I hope you can see these cartoons. Some of the color ones in particular seem quite dark. But anyway, Pirates of Polokwane. I don't know if you can see down at the bottom. It's the first time I used that phrase, a luta continua. I couldn't believe I took a struggle phrase that is so powerful and universal about the struggle continues and changed that to the looting continues. It's changed to looting. And that sort of became a little bit of a kind of a catchphrase, and I've used it again. Other people have used it. It caught on a bit. But you see that grouping. It was clear that, and as an ex-ANC activist, I suppose very lapsed at the time, now beyond lapsed, somebody who came out of the UDF and the ANC, for me to be doing a cartoon like this, which is just basically saying there's a bunch of looters who've come in. And that particular faction of the ANC is there to loot. And to put someone like Zwelinzi Mbavavi, who I had respect for, still have a lot of respect for, but he had said, we'll kill for Zuma. He followed Malema, who there you see a young Malema at the front, the sort of early Malema in nappies. And he was the head of the ANC Youth League, of course, and very much part of what propelled Zuma to power. Vavi had also said, we'll kill for Zuma. After Malema, in the cold, clear light of day, he actually repeated what Malema had said, which is absurd. And so, you know, I had to really tackle him. There's another character in there who's very important in my little cast of characters, and that's Lady Justice. And she's down there on the... those of you who know Tintin books well might recognize the sort of parody of the actual cartoon. It's just my own little play. I love the drawing in Secret of the Unicorn when you have the pirate ship that's about to cut off the other ship. And that's essentially what's happening there. And this is, in a sense, a softer version of the cartoon that I became best known for, which was from 2008, when now Zuma is ANC president, now trying to become national president, and he's Mokotedi Mshe still acting head of the NPA, and now those pesky charges are still around there. What they're trying to do is get a political solution dressed up as a legal one, and they go to court. Zuma goes to court. He's taken to court at the Pietermaritzburg High Court. And will those charges stick or won't they? And I did this cartoon in the week running up to that. Go for it, boss. It's still a thank you. It's still a shocking image. It's not something that you do lightly. I've done various versions of this. It is a metaphor. Lady Justice is a metaphor, and therefore the whole thing is a metaphor. Some people criticize me, some in the very highest level of the ANC. By the way, every single person in that cartoon, with the exception of the metaphor, responded independently to the cartoon. All of them very publicly and sometimes very threateningly. In one case on stage in front of 5,000 people and in front of however many hundreds of thousands or even millions of TV viewers immediately after the court case, where it looked as if those charges were going to be finally dropped. They basically said that you're calling Zuma a rapist and he's been acquitted of rape. But when I thought of the cartoon, it was all about something else. I was sitting there all by myself, and I said, he's blaming raping the justice system. And then I went, justice, as we know justice, is a woman. And that's how the cartoon came out. And by the way, a black woman as well, because I'd been drawing the justice figure as black for the past decade before that already, because she represents the demographic of South Africa, which is essentially, you know, predominantly I've been doing it very affirmatively as a black woman. So this cartoon, by the way, so he then sued me for 7 million for this cartoon. So now it was 15 for the other, which had been dropped slightly, now 7 for this. By the way, I keep saying by the way, because I keep thinking just on these issues of the lawsuits and everything. 15 million rand was in fact double the previous world record for what any cartoonist had been sued anywhere in the world. So I'm told, because no one has ever been sued for more than $1 million US, and 15 million is 2 million US. So that's 2 million US, another million for this one, which means I've got all kinds of ridiculous, sort of non-existent world records, because, of course, nothing really happened in terms of the money. After 4 years, this one was dropped as well. But there's some strange little facts about these lawsuits. One more thing about this cartoon. A few years after this cartoon, a man called Victor Navasky in the United States, who's from a very, very credible group, The Nation, a fantastic journal, left-wing journal, put together a list of 15 cartoons that changed the world, and this one squeaked in at number 15, which I am proud of, along with some of my greatest heroes from all over the world from the last 200 years. So it's really a privilege to be on that. I mean, it's a pity that it is this cartoon, but this one is one that I absolutely stand by, and that's how he behaved before he became president, throughout his presidency, and still now. So I stand completely by that cartoon. Anyway, there's only one other cartoon I have such a long story about, but this one is huge for me. Okay, Zuma now becomes president. What the hell do I do? He gets that charge dropped. And, oh, Willy Hoffmeyer, got to mention. Willy Hoffmeyer, my old comrade and friend and table tennis buddy. That's how I first met him, when he was banned and played table tennis. He could only speak to one other person. So technically, he couldn't speak to me and the umpire at the same time when I played competitive table tennis against him. I was at school, so this was very fascinating. And he was part of my political education. Found myself in a cell next to him. Now, then later, I found myself angry with him for facilitating, just helping along, although he contests this, the dropping of those charges. I mean, I had him sort of next to Mokotedi Mshe facilitating these things. And one day he called me, and he was very upset about this, and still is. But that was how I perceived it, and I still do. So it's very difficult sometimes finding myself up against old comrades or doing cartoons about them. It's much harder than doing things about people who are considered to be total rogues. I mean, I've just deliberately never met Zuma face to face, although I've had a couple of interesting interactions with him, once at a press conference and once on the phone on the radio. So I've sort of spoken to him and accosted him, but never met him. I've been in the same, I've been very close and deliberately not met him. Okay, he becomes president. What the hell do I do? What do other critics do? Well, I've got the shower. Now, people have been saying to me, you can't put a shower on the president's head. And I said, what are you talking about? It's a parallel universe. It's not real. And in any event, you know, the office demands dignity. And if the person who's occupying the office doesn't demand that kind of dignity or that respect, well, tough shit. You know, well, sorry, excuse me, but that's the, yeah, you know, you get the, yeah. So, this is the period in which I decided to play with the shower and let the shower move up and down as a kind of a gauge of whether he was doing well or badly. So, kind of for months, the shower was floating around and I had little calibrations, and if he did really well, the shower was going to float away, and if he did really badly, the shower comes dangerously close. The book I did at the time was Don't Mess with the President's Head, because in a sense people were telling me I was messing sort of physically and metaphorically with the President's head. But I saw myself as an implacable opponent who was now giving him a slight chance, which of course some people regarded as arrogant. Who the hell are you to give the president, you know, to deem yourself a judge? You know, it was that period in which, and we still see it, where critics of all kinds are regarded as counter-revolutionaries or are regarded as arrogant and are targeted. So after about 8 months or so, Zuma now, some people have thought, well, in the first couple of months he did some reasonable things, but he's also making good speeches on HIV and AIDS, interesting, after Mbeki, the AIDS denialist, and at the same time breaking every rule that he sets for everyone else. He's now got at least 2 children out of wedlock, and he's got 4 wives, and all, you know, so it's not about his personal morality. He's hypocritically and dangerously giving the wrong signals to the people of the country. At the time, it was absolutely crucial on HIV and AIDS. Now with ARVs around, it's unfortunately lost its kind of potency, the immediacy, but it was really important. Anyway, I decided, well, I can't let this go on for too long, and he gave the State of the Nation address, his first one, and that was the cartoon I did to signal that the shower is back big time. My favorite cartoon of the period is the one that I'm actually wearing the t-shirt of. Well, the shirt. Sorry, I'm going backwards again. There we go. My favorite cartoon is this one, Baby Shower, where you see that there are, in fact, 20 babies floating around there, because there were 20 Zuma offspring officially. Since then, during his presidency, he had, I think, 2 more official. I think recently with a new fiance, I think he's had a third. Either expecting or had, I think it's a third, so that means there would be 23. Plus, you know that there were, in fact, something like 12 unofficial. You know, he spent some time in exile in Ukraine, amongst other places. And from what I understand, maybe 12 unofficial. So the count would probably be around 35 right now, and I haven't been sued for saying that. yeah, this shirt is not what we made. This is just a one-off for fun, with the baby shower cartoon on, but we actually put these things on t-shirts. Many people bought the t-shirts, and the interesting thing is some people bought the shirts and were too scared to wear them. Now, to me, it seems it's a jokey image. Compare that to the Lady Justice cartoon or some of the Savage cartoons I do. It's kind of cute and fun. Yeah, subversive, but cute and fun. But that's how insane our politics gets, that people are scared to wear little jokey shirt like that, even though they bought it. This was a Father's Day cartoon. It was just when they started putting those things on the back of cars. There you see, you know, there's Zuma, and I don't have a pointer here, but you can see Zuma and the 4 wives. Now the 20 offspring, all not all babies, but they go from sort of oldest to youngest, and then there's a dog and a cat and a goldfish, just to round it out. So, fun cartoon, right? But here's a more serious cartoon. And that one is just fun. This one is saying a hell of a lot more. And that's a blue light brigade with the blue light as a finger, right? So that, in a sense, the people who are being stuffed around or having to run out the way or being ignored while they are poverty stricken. The voters for the ANC, it's a universal kind of thing about what politicians, not only in South Africa, not only in Africa, not only, it's all over the world where politicians get too big for their boots and forget who voted them in and why they're there. Could be that. But it was also done because Zuma's, this was done at the time, remember the incident when a student near UCT was walking along and the motorcade was zooming along from Genadendal to Parliament or something, so along the highway, past the student, he just like casually gave him the finger. Not a bad thing to do to a blue light brigade, I would say, anywhere in the world, any president, I can't stand them. The blue light brigades. Anyway, they stopped the car, pulled, some of you remember this, pulled him in, put a hood over his head, roughed him up, beat him up, and chucked him out the car again. Do you remember that? Some remember, some don't. Okay, next test. Anybody know the name of the student who this happened to? I'm sure you do, but you've forgotten it. It's Chuani Makwele. Do you remember who Chuani Makwele is? Roads Must Fall and Fees Must Fall. Roads Must Fall happened a few hundred meters from where this happened to him a few years later. If you do that to people, that's what you're going to get. I'm not saying that everything about Roads Must Fall was tied up with that one incident, but for me, the link is amazing. And so the stories in this little cartoon are quite something. By the way, I think Chuani Makwele has gone completely off the rails. I do understand some of the motivations and aspirations and things of Roads Must Fall and Fees Must Fall, but Chuani Makwele himself, I think, is a little bit mentally deranged, I have to say that. So I don't support his politics, but I understand what he did and understand why. Okay. Then the incident with now Zuma is president. This is going to be a little whistle-stop thing just to sort of remember a couple of things and reasons why and mark the event. Waterkloof Air Force Base, Guptas fly in with all their entourage and whatever, and they get official treatment and da-da-da-da. And there's my big fat Gupta wedding was the book I did around that incident, which was their niece marrying this other guy. Zuma was meant to be the guest of honor at that wedding. Of course, he for once was embarrassed and didn't pitch, but he's still there as the sort of plane or Indian elephant or something, whatever that is. Then we got Nkandla. When Nkandla became known, when the story was broken by Mandy Rousseau, the late Mandy Rousseau, and it was on the front page of the Mail and Guardian, where they asked me to do something that, basically, we found out how expensive it was going to be. We found out about the pool. There he is floating in a pool of money on the front page of the Mail and Guardian with now the shower's become a snorkel. I start playing with the shower. The shower's got all kinds of possibilities. And that was shortly before we found out that that actually wasn't a pool. It was something new in the English language called a fire pool. And of course, that all turned out to be a whole load of garbage. There were a lot of wonderful euphemisms that came. I did many cartoons around that stuff. But that was really fascinating, the fire pool thing. The other interesting thing and important thing that we got out of Nkandla, apart from the euphemisms and the later the EFF, we got Thuli Madonsela. Thuli Madonsela, the previous two public protectors were really rubbish. One of them's acting judge at the moment. I'm not an acting judge, he's an actual judge. But really, they were, you look back at their track record, really pathetic. The new one, I think, is even worse. And Thuli Madonsela is a shining beacon in the middle, doing an ANC deployee, an appointee of Jacob Zuma. He appointed her, and she did not act as a lackey as he might have expected. She actually said, listen, I'm here. I have my principles. I have my job to do. I will do it. And she compiled the Nkandla report, of course, with the help of political parties, with the help of civil society, with the help of media. Story being broken by the media in the first place. But Thuli Madonsela, this sort of represents just one of the many cartoons. There's the Nkandla report. I often drew her in this suit of armor because I see it really a kind of good versus evil fight. And she represented somebody who was really doing her job. It was very heroic. And so I've done many cartoons of her in a suit of armor. And there's that kind of strange shower thing, which is now kind of chasing her down the road, trying to put out the flames. When this was posted online, somebody posted, "Go Gandalf the Grey," because it really feels like that sort of Lord of the Rings thing. And it's the dark forces versus light and goodness. It really is to me. The Nkala report eventually goes to all the way to the Constitutional Court, again with the help of political parties. And there at the Constitutional Court is another Zuma appointee, Mogoeng Mogoeng, who's now Chief Justice. Now, when he was being appointed, I gave him a hell of a hard time because his track record didn't look great. I thought Dick Kung Moseneke should be the Chief Justice. He really was shoo-in for the role. Zuma wanted Mogoeng Mogoeng, so I thought, well, he's going to be a Zuma lackey. And he also said he made the mistake of saying that God spoke to him during the hearings, which is not a good thing to say around satirists. I started calling him Muhu Muhu. There were all kinds of cartoons about it. But he turned into a very good Chief Justice. And when that came, and he authored the judgment that brought, from the Nkandla report, Thuli Madonsela unfortunately got a different hairstyle just for that one day. I don't know if you remember. She was in it. But she made a pretty good mallet. So the two of them, there she is in her one-day hairstyle as a mallet, and the shower goes flying. And the essence of that was Zuma stole our money, which is what the DA had been saying in their SMSs and everything. And eventually there was a court case that affirmed their right to say that the money was stolen. So he had to pay back some of that money, and he violated his oath of office. That was the essence of what came out of that judgment. Now, any self-respecting president at that stage would step down, but you laugh as I say self-respecting president, because the term self-respecting and Zuma don't necessarily go in the same sentence. So, of course, he didn't see any need to step down. Of course, he should have stepped down long before that. Didn't see need to step down then or much after. I can't sort of get a sense of everybody who's here, but I would sense that this is a sort of half-jawling, half-non-jawling audience. How many of you watched... How many of you are jawling on Friday nights and would stay home to watch a Zuma announcement that he doesn't want you to see? That's why he has these things on Friday nights. I can't imagine anybody watch it live on a Friday night. Well, I certainly didn't. I knew he was making an announcement, so I taped it. So the announcement was his supposed apology, Zuma's apology. ANC accepts, which is kind of far more serious and far more awful. And if I ever had any doubts about putting Gwede Mantashe in that position, the recent things about Gwede Mantashe have made me very happy that I put him in that position, because he's not covering himself in glory either at the moment, either in terms of what's happened with Polabeni or the hearings with Basasa and da 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 da. Anyway, there's Gwede Mantashe. So, back to the Guptas. Now we come to the nub of what state capture is all about. When we heard that Minister Zwane, I forget his first name, doesn't matter, but when Wabenzi. Anyway, when we hear that Wabenzi Zwane is being made the Minister of Minerals and Energy because he is a Gupta acolyte, and the Guptas are getting that tender. When that became clear, it really became clear. We didn't have a term for state capture then. It wasn't a term at all. But there was huge red lights began flashing, and I did this cartoon, which is probably the most emblematic of all of that, based on one of the two most famous books written about this country, if you regard Madiba's autobiography as one and Cry the Beloved Country as the other. This one's By the Beloved Country. And the country was being bought. And Zuma by now is just a sort of lapdog getting the treats on their lap. But that website, you won't be able to see. I wish I had my pointer, but you can see that. It's SA History Online, right? And it's Ministers Special, Add to Cart, and they're buying ministers. And that went, the Mail and Guardian, I did that cartoon for the Mail and Guardian, they said, can we put that on the front page? Because it essentially was emblematic of what state capture was all about. And that was, of course, the big project was to buy a finance minister. And that proved a little harder than anticipated. and they gave it a good few tries, and so did Zuma. And then Zuma actually said, okay, I'm going to do this for these guys. My buddies, my cronies are going to put money in my family's pocket and all that, and my pocket. And he fired Nhlanhla Nene. Now, I haven't even got time to show you all those cartoons, but Nenegate nearly brought us down as a country. He fired Nhlanhla Nene, and absolute disaster. And, of course, he put in, also I did some cartoons about it. There was Des or Dave or Doug or whatever. There are three names beginning with D, I think, Van Rooyen, also known as Des. No, he's not only Des. There's Des, and he's also known as Dave or some. There are at least three names, I think, all beginning with D. Well, at least two, maybe three. But Van Rooyen was also known as Weekend Special. He was there for a couple of days. And eventually, even Zuma saw that things were so chaotic and so disastrous that he had to then chuck him out, and he had to put Pravin Gordhan back in for a second term as finance minister, very reluctantly. The book I did at the end of 2016 was Dead President Walking. Because there is Zuma, this kind of, it's very dark. Well, the book's dark, it's even darker on screen at the moment, but he's a zombie kind of character. I mean, the first book I've done where you've got like eyes hanging out, and my publisher said to me, geez, it's a very gory image for a Christmas kind of Christmas time book. I said, you know, I think people are angry. I think and people bought the book, that's for sure. It really was unbelievable that you've got there. He's been shot through by the Concord ruling, Nenegate, the rape trial, spy tapes, Guptas and Kandler, 783 charges, and I could have kept going. And he just kept walking. By this time, there were many, many, protests. Of course, the protests were everywhere. They were happening in Johannesburg. They were happening here. They were happening in Pretoria. They were happening all over the country. And suddenly, one of my little characters is part of the, I suppose, characters, devices, whatever, is part of the protests. Wherever I looked, people were sending me pictures. The shower was there. And people were making their own showers. And suddenly the shower was a sort of becoming this little mini symbol of protest. And everyone kind of knew what it meant, which was amazing. My favorite of all those pictures was one that was in Sachsenwald outside the Gupta's house, which is, sorry, I'm going backwards again. There we go. There, you see the car drives past and it's got a little sunroof and out comes the shower. And I love look at that phalanx of security guards behind, wondering what the hell is going on. But people didn't wonder. People knew exactly what the shower meant, which was incredible. Now, the last cartoon that I've got a bit of a story about, so I better move my butt here because otherwise I'll overrun. But this one is important. Pravin Gordhan is now, I've talked about kind of good versus evil. Pravin, a really key factor. Tom Moyani has been put in to SARS, where Pravin Gordhan had created SARS, made SARS into such a powerful force that was world-renowned and that was doing what it should do, doing what any revenue collection service should do. Tom Moyani was put there by Zuma to hollow it out. It was absolutely clear. But I was at the Sunday Times, and the Sunday Times had a weird narrative on about three different stories. I don't pretend to know everything that happened around the Cato Manor stuff, nor about the so-called renditions. I thought there was something funny about those. But I absolutely knew that what they were saying about Pravin Gordhan and about the supposed rogue unit at SARS was rubbish, partly because I was reading Daily Maverick. Daily Maverick was started about 9 years ago. So that's, at that stage, about six, 7 years before this, Daily Maverick had started. And I was reading. I knew my old friend Marianne Tam was there, and they had the story. I also bumped into Pearly Joubert at a braai. Pearly Joubert, if anybody knows Pearly Joubert, she's the, you think I swear a little bit here and there, geez, Pearly can swear the socks off any. Pearly told me in about 1,000 swear words and a whole lot of information what was going down. And I was absolutely shocked, and I decided to actually go against what the Sunday Times was. Anyway, I put together this cartoon at the time of one of the Star Wars movies. There's Pravin Gordhan. And it's a lightsaber fight, the Jedi Knight versus the Dark Forces. There's Tom Moyani, Darth Maul or whatever he is, and there's Darth Zuma in the background. And down at the bottom, and they're fighting. You see that Tom Moyani's lightsaber is doing weird stuff. It's not kind of working. It's crackle and crackle, whatever. And down at the bottom, Yoda, who speaks in garbled syntax, says, "Proxy of Darth Zuma, force of good governance, beat you will not when faulty piece of junk you wield." And that piece of junk that he's wielding is the KPMG report. I send this through to the Times newspaper, which I was at the Times and the Sunday Times. The Times is the sort of the parent paper is the Sunday Times. I send it through to the Times. They said, great cartoon, love it. I said, have you looked at it? It's exactly the opposite of what your whole newspaper group is saying. They said, we'd better go to the Sunday Times. They phoned the Sunday Times. Half an hour later, they come back to me. They said, can you take the KPMG report out? I said, are you serious? No. How can you possibly imagine? There's no cartoon then, and I'm saying nothing. The whole issue is that, and I can't take it out. We fought for about an hour or two, and eventually I said, look, I can't, I'll do another cartoon. I'm not censoring that, but I'll give this one to someone else, because I did for different newspapers. And they said, okay, all right, if you have to. Did the cartoon, but it was the beginning, and I didn't hear from the Sunday Times about the Times cartoon, but it was the beginning of a relationship that started to sour, and I found myself much later at the Daily Maverick. But anyway, there's one more thing about that cartoon. I had to dig my heels in twice. I was doing talks for Saker. Some of you may have come across Saker, the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. You may have heard that they've also been pulled into some of the stuff around the state capture inquiry and things like that, because they represent all kinds of people who were pulled into the dark stuff of Zuma and Gupta's. At the time I was doing stuff for Saker, they asked me to give an outline of my next talk. I said, well, I think it's fascinating that now it's not the usual suspects. Now it's the accountants, and it's the auditors, and it's the KPMGs, and it's the various other groups that I'm also looking at. And they said, oh, your talk sounds great, but could you leave the KPMG thing out? Because they're a very big part of Saker. And I said, why? You know me. Why are you asking me to come speak if that's what you want me to do? You know I cannot do that. And you know that it would lose all credibility as well. And they came back to me and they said, well, we've actually changed the format of that talk. We're actually wanting you to come next March. I sort of said, yeah, sure. But I said, fine. Of course, that talk then didn't happen, and neither did the one in March, and I haven't heard from Saker since. Maybe in the new order of things, and I don't regret it for one second. That's exactly the kind of thing. Luckily, as a cartoonist, I'm sometimes able to stand my ground, and other people have been pulled into things that are as dicey, and I get a chance to, and also I'm sort of trying to do that whenever I get the chance. Pravin Gordhan is now under such massive pressure. They're trying to actually get him arrested through via the NPA charges and via the Hawks. We hear that this bumbling, burning in Klameza, head of the Hawks, is actually going to arrest Pravin. When I heard that, I did this cartoon. We caught him red-handed trying to run the country properly. You see the safe there where they're taking. Do you know, that cartoon got 2.25 million views online, which is a record for me. Thank you. It's a record I hope never to get to again, because I hope there's never going to be a good situation where you get 2.25 million views of a cartoon. Ain't going to happen. None of my best Mandela cartoons or best, it's never going to happen. And part of this book is to say never again. But I've never ever seen anything. We were watching the numbers go. It was like watching a petrol pump. It was, especially at the moment. But it really was amazing seeing these numbers go up over a period of a few days. It got to 2.25 million. And then Zuma actually goddamn did it again. Recalled Pravin Gordhan from London from, ironically, an investment conference to get investment for the country. And Klibisi Jonas was leaving South Africa and was also told, wait, don't go. He called the two of them back. Everybody knew why. Everybody knew they were going to be fired. And indeed, well, I mentioned Zuma making speeches on Friday nights when he doesn't want you to hear them and all that, embarrassing. This was like 1 a.m, if you remember. And that's why I did a sort of a Dracula thing. And Pravin Gordhan, eventually, it's like we've got Nenegate times. It's equally bad, maybe even worse, to do it the second time. And that pool of blood South Africa's in is, you know, there you've got the Guptas now as Dracula. By the way, it's interesting that Atul Gupta was the kind of face of the Guptas for a long time. Turned out to be AJ, who's actually older and the kind of more key guy. But at that time, it was very much Atul Gupta. Zuma's now just a bat on his arm. I mentioned Maverick. I mentioned that I was interested in what they were doing. Eventually, I started to gravitate towards them. And at the beginning of 2017, I joined Daily Maverick, and I was telling people right from when I started. There was Marian Tam, there was Branko Burkic, who is a Serbian refugee who Milosevic wanted to have killed. Eh? Milosevic wanted to have Branko Burkic killed. He was a publisher. He drafted him into the army to try and get him sent to an operational area and have him. That was like that old biblical technique. David and whatever. That's what Milosevic was doing. He managed to get out, got to Germany to a book fair, and then came bizarrely to South Africa in 1991, couldn't speak any English, and landed up in Hillbrow. He said he was scared. Imagine a refugee from Milosevic who's walking around Hillbrow scared out of his mind. That it was South Africa is a tough place. Anyway, Branko managed to find his way in, formed Daily Maverick like 9 years ago, and learned to speak passable English. It's still difficult. The sort of two repeat rule applies. I think that's something from Seinfeld. Ask him once, ask him again, then you have to find out from someone else. Okay. But he's a wonderful, wonderful man. He's a beard as well, so he speaks with a Serbian accent. But very fantastic guy. So Marian and Branko and this fantastic team and Richard Poplack and all these wonderful people. And I knew something was brewing. And in the middle of that year, they were saying to me, we've got something that may bring Zuma and the Guptas down. And in the middle of that year, hashtag Gupta leaks. And that was when I did that cartoon, that sort of double meaning of leaks. Of course, they've been leaking on us. And they get leaked. And that was the beginning. That was Amar Bongani were then drawn in by Maverick. And Amar Bongani had been working on these stories for 7 years or so. But 200,000 emails. They didn't have all of that. And it was really the beginning of the end. We also at that stage got something from one of the captured, from one Brian Malefe at Eskom, who goes to Eskom hearings in Parliament, and Tuli Marancella, who's looking into it, has his cell phone records and puts him at the Gupta household like 42 times or something. He says, Gupta household? Why do you say Gupta? Okay, Sachsenwald, yes, but I mean, I could have been at that Shabin. And you know, there's a Shabin in Sachsenwald. Everyone says, Shabin in Sachsenwald? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I met a journalist, by the way, who lives right there and was called by everybody. And he like frequents Shabins, but not in Sachsenwald. And so anyway, obviously no Shabin in Sachsenwald, but he gave us the metaphor for the Gupta captured, which was the Sachsenwald Shabin. He also, by the way, started crying immediately, which was instructive. I thought that was very interesting. At the end of that little monologue about the Gupta, about the Sachsenwald, the Shabin in Sachsenwald, he started crying. So that was, I found funny. So here's a cartoon, one of the many that I did, where he's now the proprietor. When he's not proprietor, he's the bartender in the Sachsenwald Shabin. There's Ben and Gubani with a mop. Eish, getting crowded in here. And then I'd put them all in there, and all I'd try to cram everybody in all their offices, and the new arrivals are the new public protector up there at the top, and KPMG and SAP. But you see there Mr. Oros and Zuma and his family and the finance ministry under Gigaba now, there on the bottom left, and the supposed finance minister, of whom I could show you many cartoons but don't even have time to. And anyway, this cartoon took me a long time and got a lot of response. One of the responses was from my lawyer. Yeah, by this time I have a lawyer. The very first time I was sued, I was at independent newspapers, believe it or not, long before Iqbal Survey, who's now, I mean, Sunday Times is being hollowed out, independent even more so. And anyway, so Iqbal Survey. What was I saying? So I have a lawyer who was working for Independent, but he was also working for the Sunday Times. I actually made sure that he represented me in the Lady Justice case, and then he's represented me so many times. Dario Milo, wonderful guy at Web of Ensel, Joburg. I get a message from him saying, fantastic cartoon, love it, but where's McKinsey? And he was working on the McKinsey case, and I'd left them out. I put everyone else in except damn it. I said to him, listen, I'll find a way to get them in a cartoon quite soon. The Gupta Empire started to crumble. Here's one of the many cartoons I did as they crumbled. Remember when everything we touched turned to gold? Now it's turning to a much smellier substance. And there on the top left, you see McKinsey. I made sure that was in there. Bell, Pottinger, KPMG, SAP, Trillion, and Eskom, they're all in. Zuma's sort of also, again, kind of just, he's just a kind of a bit part player walking behind the real three kings in this sort of Midas thing. Pravin Gordhan, I've mentioned already. God, look, it's 5 to 3. Am I supposed to be finishing at 3? Yo, I'm gonna try and go faster, but I'll see if I can actually finish the cartoons by 3, and then if anyone wants to, I don't know if, you'll have to hound me out, because once I'm going, it's very difficult. So, let's see where I am. Woo, I have to go quicker. So, Pravin Gordhan doesn't resign from Parliament. He goes back in, and he says, I'm going to do this within the portfolio committees. And at that point, I did a cartoon about him, which I then adapted for my next book cover, which was Hasta la Gupta, baby. And then Pravin bursts in as the Zoominator with a red eye and the whole Schwarzenegger story. You see Brian Malefe down at the left, he just bursts into tears in the Saxon-World Tribune. And there the Guptas on the right counting their money. It's very gangster, all very Bugsy Malone. Zuma by now is just a waiter behind the door, gets his shower knocked off his head. It was a bit part player at this stage again. But there is one more thing I want to tell you about this cartoon. I sent a message. I got Pravin's number from the Maverick, and I said, listen, I know I've never met you, so it was a little bit of a cheeky of me, or chutzpahdik, as they say in Yiddish. I said to him, I know a little bit of Yiddish. I sent him this message. I said, listen, there's no other person who could really speak at this launch of this book. No pressure, but kind of got to be you. And then I didn't hear anything from him. So I thought, well, maybe I was being a bit cheeky. And then I didn't hear. And the publisher said to me, we need it to solidify who's the speaker. So I said to my assistant in my office, oh, I'll have to phone him today. She said, you can't phone him today. It's the budget. It was Gigaba's first mini budget, right? So we put on the TV, busy drawing and listening and cursing Gigaba and whatever. And in the middle of that budget speech, my phone pings. It's PG, I'd be honored to speak at your launch. Which I thought was a hell of a signal. And in the middle of the budget. So, of course, he came and spoke, and I told that story at the launch. I saw him getting very embarrassed, but he actually got quite a kick out of it because it was indeed a message. And, what he thought of Gigaba and the whole bunch. Right. ANC elective conference comes up. How would you like your bribe to be paid? Cash check, EFT, tap and go, e-wallet, snap scan, brown envelope, Bitcoin. The Bitcoin thing. But how weird is that? By this stage, it's such common cause. We all know that this is crooked. Even the result that actually got Cyril Ramaphosa in over Zuma's proxy, his ex-wife, Nkosazana Zuma, was tainted. It was facilitated by none other than Didi Mabuza, who is a hell of a scary character, who is now our deputy president. And so more will be heard about those results later. They're probably holding that against Cyril. They've got him by the... And that's probably it, amongst other things. So we get the ANC split. We knew it was split. Whenever I hear top six, I hear toxics. So another ANC top six mix. Geez, you would never believe I'm ex-ANC. There's actually a branch named after my mother. The Gaby Shapiro ANC branch is the Claremont ANC branch. The one that Trevor Manuel happens to belong to, and the late Carter Asmal. Also, unfortunately, the late as a struggle icon, Lynn Brown. So that branch is named after my mother. But this is me doing these kind of things. So we have Toxics Assets, Mantashe, Paul Mashatile, and Cyril, and then you've got the real Toxics Waste. You've got Ace Magashule, ANC Secretary General now, Didi Mabuza, Deputy President, and you've got the awful Jesse Duarte, who also says nice things about me. She really doesn't like me, but then it is mutual. Zuma now is really damaged goods. The Gupta assets are being frozen. And Zuma is still national president. Cyril has been elected ANC president. Will Zuma be able to deliver the State of the Nation address? Will he be able to continue his term? The answer is obviously no, but the ANC is grappling with it. What does Zuma have on them? Anyway, as the assets get frozen, there's another frozen Gupta asset, which was just a nice simple cartoon which I enjoyed doing. And as the ANC keeps grappling with it, we keep hearing high noon for Zuma. Is it, you know, high noon for Zuma? And kind of got a bit tired of that. So high noon, there's kind of high noon-ish, middling noon, low noon, whenever. Now it's midnight. And the one who's looking kind of okay is Zuma, and the one who's not is Cyril. Eventually, I mean, Cyril goes to Davos, and we have Cyril Spring, and we have the Ramaphosa and all that, and we're still having this debate. They actually postpone SONA, if you remember. That's the first time that's ever happened. Probably never happen again. They postpone SONA, and eventually, surprise, surprise, late night, at a time when nobody's kind of listening, Zuma has another one of his bumbling announcements, and eventually we get the end of an era. Which is, thanks. Now, that's not an original phrase. That phrase has been around for about 40 years, and it's been used many times, but I always thought it would work for Zuma. And in the week running up to that, I actually suddenly realized I just have to put the shower in there and then do that cartoon, which of course then you saw the book cover. The book cover is based on that as well. That cartoon, by the way, got 800,000 views as well. It also went. Now, suddenly, Cyril then delivers SONA. Tuma Mina, Hugh Masekela has just died. And we also have a great new movie that's inspiring people across the world, especially in Africa and the African diaspora. We have Black Panther, so we have time to rebuild. Time for Rama Panther. Send me. And these guys say, well, could work. Maybe lose the socks. He had those weird socks that he went jogging on. They're kind of red and white, which was I think, because he's part of McDonald's. They're sort of standard McDonald's issue. But you see that Cyril is not like a full-on hero. He's like a kind of a weird semi-hero. I don't know how many of you know Gru, the great character of Sergio Aragonés, who's sort of a Conan the Barbarian. He's meant to be like that. He's kind of got this big, strong body and these kind of weird little legs because he's a sort of semi. We don't know yet. I used to be a huge admirer of Cyril. These days, he's got a book from me, by the way, that says, for Cyril, hoping the old Cyril is still in there somewhere. Because somebody, and that's what I hope. He has his first cabinet, and unfortunately, Rama Panther and the Smolanyana skeletons. It wasn't very promising. And the new Dawn cabinet contained Didi Mabuza and Gigaba and Tsele and Novula Mokonyane and Batabili Dlamini, who said, we all have our little like Smolanyana skeletons. She coined the phrase. So we're saddled. And I know some people say he's playing the long game, but I worry. I heard by the grapevine somebody very key saying to him, Cyril, it's time to grow a pair. So I have it on good authority that somebody I admire very much actually said that to him in a small room. And I want to see him grow a pair. I do think he's the best thing we've got, but that's setting a very low bar at the moment, especially with the other political parties, which are equally pathetic. So now we have Zuma is now, we had Sean Abrams. I haven't even shown you any of the Sean the Sheep drawings. Sean the Sheep has done nothing about these charges. All of a sudden, Sean the Sheep finds his voice. Woof. Okay. So I thought I'd just show that. I mentioned Gigaba. Gigaba became famous, first of all, for his smart dressing, then for being a Gupta acolyte, and then for his kind of famous cell phone, and then for like what he did with that cell phone, which is unbelievable. After what he did with that cell phone, in the days after that, people said, will he step down? Will he fall on his sword? I had about 4 days to wait. I thought, Jesus, somebody's going to get this cartoon before I get it. I said, falling on your sword, honey. Which he then duly did. About 2 days later, he actually did fall on his sword. So that one did the rounds pretty well. Now, some of these cartoons are going just beyond where the book does, but they're just tailing off into where we are now. So I've got a few more to show you if we can manage, because they just bring you up to speed about where we are. Cyril is now trying to take on the Gupta, the Zuma-Gupta sort of alliance in the provinces. You remember it was called the Premier League. And we had the wonderfully named Supra Mahumapelo. We had him. We lost him. We have him again. But Supra Mahumapelo in the northwest, Cyril is kind of having to deal with him. So he goes out there and sees what he's going to do. And there we go. Supra factionalistic, egocentric and verbose. Jesus complex Premier Gupta linked in quite atrocious. Said he'd quit but backtracked with a faction-fueled psychosis. Supra testing ruling parties, top-down power sclerosis. Thank you. And see the guy up there, the guy close to him points, he says, Rama Poppins. He's got a nice name, Cyril, so we can do pop culture things. Now we've got that court case which sort of brings Supra Mahumapelo back again. Don't know what they're going to do with him. The New York Times then comes up with an article about the much aforementioned Didi Mabuza. How many of you picked up on that New York Times article? It was in Daily Maverick. They reprinted it a bit. It is shocking. Shocking, shocking. The body count and the corruption that got Mabuza into his position in Mpumalanga from where he launched his successful bid to become deputy president is scary. So this was the cartoon I did at the time, New Dawn Road, and I went back to all my Lord of the Rings stuff again and got out my orcs picture. That's an orc, and it's a scary orc. And I'm afraid, he's not necessarily part of the Zuma faction or Guptas or whatever. I regard him more as a freelance criminal, Mabuza, but he is a scary guy. We then come to, now this last little bit is about the inquiries, so I've got a few of those because just to sort of put us into present day, because it's all part of what that book is about and whether or not we can avoid going there again, what we have to do. So at the Zondo inquiry, there's the state capture inquiry. As evidence mounts, will Judge Zondo subpoena the former president? Oh, God, I've gone backwards. I'm sorry. Okay, we have to cue that in again. As evidence mounts, will Judge Zondo subpoena the former president? Your name, for the record, A.J. Gupta. So that was one of them. Then I'll tell you one thing. I also want to give a big shout out to Adrian Basson. He was at the Mail and Guardian when I was at the Mail and Guardian. For some reason, I mean, I know I was ahead of the game on so many of these issues. I was trying to keep up. I was sometimes ahead. I was sometimes keeping up with my investigative journalist friends. On Basasa, I dropped the ball big time. And so did many of us journalists, and so did many other people. Adrian Basson had the story. He wrote it down. Why didn't we pick up on it? I don't know. We just didn't get it. People in the ANC did. Cyril Ramaphosa can't pretend not to know. When he got that 500,000 thing, he knew. And so did a lot of people in inner circles of all sorts of things. But many of us, anyway, when we heard how bad that stuff was, the Watson family and Basasa and the Grizzi, I can't show you all that stuff now. I'm just jumping a couple more. But we heard that chicken was was code for the cash bribes. And there I did Zondo's flame grilled. And there you have Gavin Watson, who's got that sort of Basasa and ANC product sticker on him. And there it says chicken was code for cash bribes. It suddenly sparked. I was actually in a hotel room and I had taken all my colors. I suddenly got this, I had to draw this. I was doing a talk and I drew it on a little piece of layout pad, but it became a good cartoon and worked very well. Very difficult to do that when I was traveling. The other one I liked from that, just one more of these, Basasa's last correctional services contract under construction. Basasa, they're constructing their own prison wing. Basasa wing, and there's Gavin Watson and Mokonyane and Moyane and Vincent Smith, Patrick Gillingham, Linda and T, Cloudy, Dudumieni, Zuma, and of course Agritzi handing them the stuff. Since that cartoon, three of them have been arrested. But you know what's scary? Shamila Batoy, the new NPA prosecutor, the NPA head, was not only was she not part of those arrests, she was not even told that it was happening. So there are the things that are still afoot we have to watch out for, because there are wheels within wheels and it's not over yet. That is for absolutely sure. So we have to watch that stuff. So out of the inquiries and into one or two about the political parties, because we're coming up with elections, there's one or two. Well, here's one about the fantastically named new party, Jimmy Money's new party, or Mzonele's new party. It's called the ATM. So we have the Dirty Money ATM. Please wait a moment while we launder your assets. I mentioned that I wasn't particularly enamored with any of the other political parties, even though some of them have got one or two assets and whatever. I think the DA does reasonable stuff sometimes. But this cartoon for me represents the DA. This is after Musi Mamani became the leader of the DA. Drop me off with my disciplinary, Musi, and wait outside, driving Miss Helen. For me, it's the best DA cartoon I've done in a long time, and it represents what it must be like for poor old Musi, who's not, by the way, covering himself in glory either, but hell's teeth, it would not be easy to be to have that backseat driver in. Yeah. And I know Helen very well. I know Musi okay. I know Helen very well, and she really should get off Twitter, among other things. But anyway, get off social media completely. What about the EFF? The EFF did good stuff during the Nkandla thing, but they came across as the party of anti-corruption, which was always nonsense because, Malema had his own Limpopo skeletons, Smolanyana skeletons, big skeletons too. Okay, 1 minute. Okay. All right, so this is going to be... So here's them. This is how they've been behaving. A fascist-style incitement against journalists and da-da-da, and look what they've done with Karima Brown and so many others. ANC is not... Oh, no, I can't even go through that cartoon. There might be a potential coup. God, okay. Hashtag 10-year challenge. Did anyone do that? Well, hashtag 10-year challenge was sparked off the one. Oh, I've just wrecked the cartoon completely, but that thing of that feud of democracy versus coup, or something approaching coup, is going to come up after the election. They'll let Cyril Ramaphosa win. This is the new book that's out there, Let the Sun Shine In, and that's where I think we are. This was the last couple. This is okay. There you see the shower still very much with us. Are we running 11 minutes late? Okay, the last one. Very last cartoon. Huh? Okay. Questions outside. So last cartoon. Renaming questionnaire. I think Cape Town International Airport should be called Nelson Mandela International, Ahmed Kathrada International, Sarah Bartman International, Kratoa International, Robert Sobukwe International, Joe Masopus International. Receiving a rush of local support. Thank you very much. Sorry I overran. I'll see you outside.